This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
You guys ready to get in the Word? How many of you guys love the Word? Anybody? In the beginning was the Word. Get with me. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Man, and we don't have to walk around thinking, man, I wonder what God's thinking. We've got His Word. We know what He's thinking. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11. I already quoted this. It's going to be a little redundant, but it's going to fit into the message. God, thank You for Your Word. We receive it as life and health. And God, I thank You. It is life-changing in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, come to Me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. He said, and take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. And for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Man, think, underline that, highlight that in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, don't have it, right, man, take it in the notes of your phone, write that down, that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Because the deception of the enemy is, this is hard. This is so difficult. Some of you guys in here, how many of you guys are relatively new serving God right now? Relatively new. Month or two, 3 months, 6 months. Raise your hands. Hands up. Give these guys a hand, will you? Man, soldiers in here. Man, I'm so appreciative. How many of you guys have been living for God for a year or less currently right now? Let me see your hands. Man, a year or less. Man, thank you so much for... thank you so much for making this commitment. But listen, there's this thought that you have. And I remember the thought that I had. It's like, this is too hard. This music, there's a lot of reading in this. I don't know if I like it. I don't know if it's going to work for me. I knew something was different on the inside. I knew my sin was forgiven. I knew I'd never look back. I just didn't know about this. All these people. There's not many of my kind. What am I going to do? You know, because when you're a sinner, most people are social. Either that or they have a cause. Either that or they're so awkward that they're holed up in some cabin in the woods. But now we come to the kingdom, and the Bible says that we're a part of His body. And where it pleases Him is where He's placed us. It's pleasing to Him. And then the Bible says where every joint supplies, that our supply comes from the connectivity of our lives. And Jesus says this, all of you are weak and heavy laden, coming to Me. He didn't say all of you have your act together, all of you who fit in. See, here's what's interesting. He sat with Matthew in his house with a bunch of tax collectors. Those guys didn't fit into what the Pharisees or the Jews would think who would be with the Messiah when He came. That's why they rejected Jesus, because Jesus didn't reject anybody. That's the only reason. I thought about this a lot. How could the Jews have missed it? How could the Jews have not just accepted it? It doesn't make any sense. This guy was phenomenal. He was amazing. He was everything He said He was gonna. He was everything God had promised He would be. He did it all. And they still reject. Why? Because He was so accepting and didn't reject anybody. Here these guys were. The pattern of their life was the law. And you know what? They couldn't keep it. Man, in the 15th chapter of Acts, that's what Peter said. Peter stood up when they came to him, and the Pharisees who were following Jesus. And at that time, they didn't call themselves Christians. They were just Jews that received the Messiah. And they're following all this law, and then over 600 laws and circumcision. It's like, man, these Gentiles are coming into our synagogues and our temples and worshiping Jesus, and they're not even circumcised. They don't obey the law. Peter said, hey, why would we strap them with the law when we have a hard time keeping it? And then James stood up and said, we're not going to. James, the half-brother of Jesus. That's how, man, you think about, how many of you guys have siblings? What if your sibling was Jesus? You're like, oh, he always gets his way. Why don't you ever get on him? Why am I always the one who makes a mistake? Sure, sure. Oh, it's me. I'm the one who's lying. You don't think he can lie? I'm thanking God I had my brothers. They messed up enough to divert the attention off of me once in a while. But see, we have to look at this, that you've come today. We don't have a bunch of Christian artifacts. We've got a new Mustang and Harley we're going to give away June the 1st. That I know God's already spoken to some of your hearts that you're going to win it. But I'll tell you, it's because they had a hard time receiving Jesus because he didn't reject anybody. He's not rejecting me. He's not rejecting you. That's not what he does. You know, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to hear, well done, enter in. We're going to come in and we're going to go, oh my gosh, Jesus, I've longed for this day. You know, I mean, it's how all the old time songs are, the whole thing. And we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to ask us a simple question. He's going to say, do you know how much I love you? That's all he's going to say. Do you know how much I love you? Man, do you realize that's all that God is love? God is love. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies, love your neighbors as yourself, love your enemies. Why? Because then you're like God, because God is love. Here's the problem with our attitudes. God loves our enemies. So he's saying, look, you go love them too. Yeah, but they're mean, I know. You were pretty mean yourself. Yeah, but they're ugly. Yeah, you were pretty ugly yourself. This isn't a beauty contest. This isn't a popularity contest. He just loves us. Why? God's love. Romans 5, the first five verses says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let's pause for a second. We're justified by faith. We're justified by trust. I'm going to say this again. We're justified by trust. Because I trust him, I'm justified. It's not what I do. It's not how good I am. It's not the bell I ring. It's that I trust him. See, religion makes this elitist. Religion makes the geniuses that all could do it and then the millions of other people that are trying to get there. And that's not what this is. Here's how it was communicated to me. Is there's a canal and there's this ship on this canal. And way back here, Old Roberts jumps on. And they go, you go a little further and Willie George jumps on. And you go a little further and Sandy Shear jumps on. And you go a little further and Vanessa Houston jumps on. And you go a little further and you jump on. And you go a little further and where is everybody? In the same boat. Nobody's further or beyond anybody. Is that the first time you heard that? Is that contrary to what you're thinking? Is that there's awkward silence? Of the greatest heroes of the faith, you're in the same boat. There's no rank and file. Jesus receives us all. We're justified by faith. You ready to ramp this up a little bit? How many of you guys are ready to ramp this up a little bit? Okay? We're justified by faith. Listen, to this grace wherewith we stand, where we could take a stand. Now listen, this grace is not a worldly grace. You can't take the definitions that you've had of things and bring it into the kingdom and think that God defines it the same way. Do you understand our love and his love are two different loves? Do you understand that there's three kinds of love translated to love from the Greek? There's eros, which is a physical attraction love. There's phileo, which is a brotherly, familiar love. And then there's agape, which is a God kind of love. Man, that's the idea of this. Man, most people, it's like, oh my gosh, I want to marry her. I love her. That's usually an eros kind of love. That's a physical attraction kind of love. It's like, oh my gosh, you don't know how she makes me feel. It's like, no, I got an idea how she makes you feel. I pretty much know. But see, you have to understand that most relationships, most marriages in the world start out in the physical. and then it goes to emotional. It starts in eros, and then it goes to phileo, and then hopefully it gets to agape. Most people, most married people come to church, man, they've got issues. It gets constraining. I don't know if it's going to work out. Let's give God a try. Let's go to church because we're trying to get that to that agape love. They don't know it. But God's will is for us to start in that agape love. That agape love maybe get to an engagement where there's a commitment that's made and get to the phileo or the emotional kind of love. And then when you're married and you say, I do, and covenant's made, you get to that physical kind of love. That's the order, but you know what? The world always flips it. So now you look at God's grace. We're thinking God's grace is God's poise, God's beauty. Because we say, oh my gosh, she's so graceful. Well, she's poised. She walks upright. Well, she's beautiful. She's got beauty, so she has grace. No, that's not how God equates it. God's grace is his favor. God's grace, it's something you cannot buy, you cannot earn it, you don't deserve it, you just get it because you're justified by faith, by trust. So you trust God, and then you enter into this grace wherewith we stand. Now listen, this grace, it's not a worldly kind of grace. It's a God kind of grace. It's his power, his supernatural ability, and his favor. Okay? So now we look at this, and we have to understand that this grace in which we stand, everybody say this grace in which we stand. Come on, Skychook, everybody here, let's hear it. This grace in which we stand, say it again. Okay, now we're standing on grace. Now listen, let's go to Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of grace shall flourish in the world. You're planted in grace. Then we go to Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah. Keep your place in Romans 5. And let's go to Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Stop, we might be in a year of drought. We're not anxious, why? We're trees planted by the river. Nor will we cease from yielding fruit. You know, I looked at that, and then I looked just above it. In verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord. Now remember, this one starts with, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, right? Verse 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, his own intellect, his own ability, his salesmanship, his physical strength, her beauty, whatever, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now remember, blessed is the man who's like a tree planted by the rivers. Cursed is the man, listen, who's like a shrub in the desert, dry and brittle, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. See, we look at this, we are not built or wired or created for dry land. We are created, where we flourish is when we're planted by the river. And then out of us will flow rivers of living water. But see, we've got to be planted in God's supernatural ability and not in anything else. And that's where our identity has to be. But see, too many people, because I'm just telling you, so sensitive and so offendable, you'll get our feelings hurt. So you know what we'll do? We'll take 5 or 6 or 10 or sometimes more years of being transplanted in God's house and uproot our lives and transplant it somewhere else. And guess what? That doesn't work. There is a shock that hits us just like it would a plant. And you know what? You're rolling the dice on whether or not you can handle that kind of shock. But see, if we're those people that said, look, I'm rooted and grounded. I don't trust in man. I trust God. I'm not relying on my flesh or my strength. I'm relying on God's promise. His promise is yes. His promise is amen. This church, Guts Church, is a house, is a church of promise. Man, we are gonna think about, we are gonna read, we are gonna study, we are gonna speak, we are gonna live God's promise and not settle for anything else. That's who we have to be. But you know what? It all is determined on where you plant your life. And you don't let anything uproot it. Because you plant your life in God's grace, your foundation becomes rock. And then whatever storm hits you, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Man, true righteous people aren't going, oh my gosh, the economy, I'm so worried. I'm so worried about who's in office and man, oh my gosh, everything's, it's like, no, let me tell you. We don't fear when all this stuff happens. Why? We're planted by the river. Our source doesn't come from anything that we can see. Our source is God. And that's where we're putting our trust. So we go back to Romans, the 5th chapter, and let's look at the 3rd verse. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we don't just rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice, listen, we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope will never disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts in Christ Jesus. God is love. Everything born of God is love, that the love of God is poured out in our hearts. So you know what? Persecution or tribulation comes, you know what we do? Man, we just stand in it. Why? Because we're rooted in faith. We're rooted and grounded and God's grace and God's glory becomes the pattern of our lives now. And you know what? The fruit becomes so crazy that the world all takes notice of it because they know how dry and parched and brittle that the bushes are, the shrubs are that are out in the desert. But here, why aren't you brittle? Why aren't you parched? Why aren't you all shriveled up? Why aren't you dying? Man, Sandy and I had a house years and years ago, the first house we ever owned. Had huge 220-year-old oak trees in the backyard. Man, these were magnificent, huge trees. Biggest trees you've seen in this part of the country. Man, I go out one year in the springtime and I look and there's about half the leaves on one of those oak trees. So I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a homeowner. I must save this tree. Nowhere in the Word does it say I must save a tree. I saved a whale once. You laugh. I'm sunbathing, reading a book with my electric blue board shorts on in Santa Monica, California. I was rather svelte then. I'm reading a book, sitting by my lovely wife, Sandy. We're having one of those blissful afternoons like we normally have. Sun's shining. Breeze is flowing through her hair. The scent of her wonderfulness is filling my nose holes. It's a beautiful day. Lifeguard, holding one of those lifeguard throw you and save you things. What do they call those? Is that a buoy? Hey, when I ask a question, it's not yours to answer. You're messing with my flow, dog. Buoy. Who would say a buoy? It's a buoy. It's a rowboat. How about a rowboat? Those things float. Okay. He's running down the beach. He's running real hard. And those guys are like, he's got like abs and stuff. I have a ab. He has like abs and stuff. And he's running down the beach and he points at me and says, you, come on. And I'm like, so I drop my book and Sandy goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going with him. And I'm running down the beach with him, with my ab. Thinking, why didn't you grab a shirt? It's not that funny. Okay, now I'm mad. You all are getting saved today, I'm telling you. So I'm running down the beach, and I get to this monster. The monster, the sea spit out this monster on the beach. He said, grab it. I'm from Oklahoma. Can you be a little more specific? Grab the whale and stay away from the blowhole. Don't worry about that. When you've looked up close with a blowhole, no thank you. I grab hold of this, I'm like this, and I'm holding this, I'm thinking, but I'm, that helicopter shark, I'm not, if I say it, you tell them the truth. Sometimes I exaggerate, am I exaggerating? No. News helicopters are circling us. And I'm like, I have no shirt on, and these electric blue board shorts. It's like, shoot. Laura Dollar's mom is watching the Hispanic channel in L.A., and it's Via Condisto, board shorts, hombre, saving a whale. And here I am in this whale, and people are all around. He's like, stay away, stay away. And I'm like, why do you say that to me? I saved a whale. See if your Baptist preachers can add up to that, huh? So anyway, I go in the backyard with this tree. That was a smooth little transition right there. And I look at that tree and I think, I'm a homeowner. I got to save the tree. So there's a guy in the church at that time that was an arborist. So I said, okay, you know a lot about trees. He said, well, I'm an arborist. I said, okay. And I told him, I said, how about this tree? He said, let me come look at it. I said, okay, great. He gets out of his truck. He walks through the gate. He's 200 feet from this tree. And he goes, oh, tree's dead. I'm like, I thought you're an arborist. The tree's not dead. It has leaves. He goes, I know it has leaves. He said, does it have the amount of leaves that it usually has? I said, no. He says, no, it's dead. He said, the extremities of the tree just don't know it yet. Ah, you're full of bull. I go to Ace True Hardware. I get some tree food. I saved a whale. I can save a tree. Did everything I could. Next year, there's like 10 leaves on this monstrous tree. I'm thinking, come on, buddy. You can make it. The tree's dead. The next year, nothing. I had to cut the thing down. We drilled out the stump, planted sod. Tree's gone. And see, we understand that in our lives, that happens a lot of times. We get fired up. What happened was, there was a creek that ran beside that tree. And that creek was about 25 or 30 feet from that tree, and there was a lot of building going on in that area at that time. So there was a lot of contaminants and a lot of construction waste that got into that tree, and the stuff that got into that creek, man, got to the root system of that tree, and it gradually just killed off that tree. And I thought about this. We're planted in grace. We're planted in God's provision and God's promise as believers in Jesus. We're not living by the law anymore. Jesus is going to ask us one question. Do you know how much I love you? That's it. God is love. Everything about God is love. All God does is love. Everybody born of God is love. We have to be loved people. But you know what? Man, we're too critical and judgmental of people. What did Jesus say? He said, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and I'll give back to you. Good measure, pressed out, shaken together, and running over. The men will give into your account, and you will lack nothing. But you know what? Man, we just have to be acceptive. We just have to be receiving of people. But listen, and ourselves. But understand, you let contaminants into your root system. And I thought about this. I thought, man, all the people that are living in the kingdom one day and in the world the next, and back in the kingdom another day and back in the world the next, and bouncing back and forth and don't even realize it, that they're dying on the inside of them. And some of them don't realize that they're dead, but they, you know what? Their extremities just hadn't been told yet. And we've got to understand that in our own lives. We have to understand that everything about God to us is love. Even correction. Who he loves, he corrects. See, we look at our lives now and the things that we go through, and we think we know. We think we're all there. And the bottom line is, God's going to be faithful. And you know what that means? Consistent. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But you know what? We let things into our lives, those contaminants get into our soil. Man, Jesus just put it this way. You judge the fruit. If the fruit's good, the tree's good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line with this whole thing is we have to produce great fruit. You know why? We're accepted in the beloved. But we plant our lives in God's grace. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for great things, for incredible work. Where are you planted today? Are you planted in his grace? Are you planted in the kingdom? Are you planted in God's way of doing things? Do you see some parched, dried up, barren areas of your life? Could your financial life, could your marital life, could your parental life, could your social life, man, could those aspects, are any of them like a parched shrub in the desert? Man, if they are, you got to wake up and wake up right now, because the single greatest weapon the enemy's going to use against us in our life is deception. You might look at it and think, well, you know, my health's okay, but my marriage is rotten. Well, you know, it could be worse, I guess. No, you know what? And I'll stand in front of you, and you know what? There may be haters of this. I personally believe God only wants the best for me. God only wants the best for his children. I personally believe that. God's best has been afforded you. And I personally believe that if you settle for anything less than God's best, you're operating in the flesh and you're operating in the world, the system of the world, and not the kingdom. Jesus simply said this, and I'll close this with, we'll carry on later. Next week, Charlotte Gamble, how exciting that is. It'll be one of those incredible Sundays, Saturdays and Sundays here at this church. But I'll close with this. Jesus said, listen, your Father knows that the way the Gentiles, what they're seeking, your Father knows that you have need of those things, but the way they're getting it is not our way. Our ways are higher than that. Higher, so much higher of the heavens are from the earth. He said, here's how you're going to get that stuff. God's not going to withhold any good thing from you. You just have to walk uprightly. You just have to love him, put him first. But listen, Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be added unto you. And you know what he's talking about? He's not talking about just the basic sustenance that we need for life. He's talking about everything the Gentiles, the godless, are seeking. He said, all that stuff's going to be added unto you. It's going to be phenomenal, because everything they're trying to get that they'll never have, God's just going to give you. All of you who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Man, come on, take my yoke upon you. Man, learn from me. My yoke's easy. My burden's light.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.